Well, I'm not going to teach on 1 John tonight. I don't know whether you're glad or sad about that. Sorry. Hey, just be digesting those two that came this morning. There's a lot to digest right there. But it is becoming very apparent that many people today think they're saved that are not saved. They made some kind of a decision, and maybe they said what we call the sinner's prayer maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And just like Jesus said, it's not that it's not genuine. Remember in Mark 4, the sower sows the word, began to grow. But in 3 out of the 4 grounds, it produced no fruit at all. Only in the good ground did it produce anything. And that was 30, 60, and 100-fold even then. So this thing about, I made a decision 20 years ago, and I walked the aisle and I said the sinner's prayer. Wonderful. But you've lived in the bars and in fornication and, you know, lived just like the world. Lived your whole life for yourself and the world. That's not what Jesus calls eternal life. But be more on that. John gets, so far we've been through the easy part of 1 John. He starts getting tough from here on, so fasten your seatbelt. Now, tonight, go ahead and... Now, this is the other place where your Bible should just fall open. Open up to Romans chapter 8. And you can put a marker, I'll do it myself, over in Galatians chapter 5. The walk of the Spirit. Thank God for Pastor Dave and his book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. And I love the contrast that is shown between the fellow in Romans 7 and the person in Romans 8. Now, the man in Romans, and now much of the church, because the gospel has been so watered down, most, I'm going to say over 90% of the churches today, when they teach Romans 7, they're going to tell you that's a Christian having trouble with his flesh. It's absolutely not a Christian. And you can know that for sure because the guy in Romans 7 says, I would not have known covetousness, except thy law said, thou shalt not covet. Listen, when you get born again, God writes his law in your heart and in your mind. You could be a headhunter in Borneo or where, somewhere, never have read the Bible in your life, never have heard anything, but if you genuinely get born again, in that nature, at that moment that comes in you, thou shalt not murder will be the first thing in you. And you'll know it's wrong. Now, you may do it, but you'll know it's wrong. Okay? There is a genuine change, a genuine creation that comes into anybody who is genuinely born of the Spirit of Christ. And that law is written. Now, last week's lesson was called the engrafted and engraved word. You remember that? God engraved it in the new nature. The first time he wrote it on tables of stone. Y'all remember the image? He did it with his finger, right? He engraved his word in tables of stone. But the new nature has God's word engraved right in the mind. And when you engraft that nature into you, it's engraved in your mind. And it's permanent. Hey, if I engrave something for Sue on a bracelet or a watch, I love you, baby. I mean, I have engraved that in metal. It is there for the rest of time. Well, that's the way God did with you. And you've got it already engraved in you. The fellow in Romans 7 does not have that. He's only got it written in stone. And he goes, but I love God. He goes, I want to serve you, God. With my mind, I agree that your law is good and holy and just. I want to keep it. But see, he's got that sin nature. And the whole point, or not the whole point, one of the major points of the law was to be our schoolmaster to the whole human race to prove to you, you cannot save yourself. It all pointed to Jesus. You must have a Savior. You must be born again. So you go from the guy in Romans 7 who with all of his willpower and desire and love of God, he still could not keep the righteousness of the law. Let me say it another way. He could not live above his flesh. Remember, he says, with my mind, I serve your law, God. I want to serve it, but with my flesh, I serve sin. Oh, that brings us to Romans 8. Well, right near the end of it, verse 23 of Romans 7, but I see another law in my members. warring, boy, that's a good word, warring against the law of my mind. With my mind, I want to keep your law, but I find another law in my members, and it's at war with my mind. And bringing me into captivity, what that means is it makes me a slave. It makes me a slave to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, you can just hear his agony. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The best he could do is, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve my... if I could read. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But look at verse 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. That word condemnation, really what it's talking about, you are not condemned to be a slave anymore. You are not condemned to be a slave to them which are in Christ Jesus. But now notice, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I know all through here, as Dave has taught us, it has capital S. The translators thought he was talking about the Holy Spirit, but all of these should be little s until you get to verse 16. Verse 16 is the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans 8. So I'm going to, instead of saying Spirit to avoid confusion, I'm going to read New Nature. Okay? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the new nature. See, grace, the modern gospel is grace covers your sin. Well, there is an aspect of that. That's not really what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to set you free from your sin. Grace empowers you to walk free. You're not a slave. Grace freed you from the slavery of your flesh. You're not here to serve your flesh anymore. You're here to walk after the Spirit and serve God. That's the real gospel. And it's not being, it's being preached here and I'm sure other places, but it's not been prevalent. Now, many Bibles don't even have that last phrase in them anymore, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But it has got to be in there to make sense of this. And if you come on down to verse 4, it's in verse 4. Now, thank God in my King James, it's in both of them. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How's it fulfilled? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the new nature. So now I'm going to read it all together. Romans 8, starting in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. We ought to all take off shouting and running and singing. Just that right alone. Right, just that alone. For what the law, the written law, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We could continue on to show he's still talking about the same thing. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the new nature, the things of the new nature. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be new naturally minded, they got it correct there, little s, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, and that's the one that still wants what the flesh wants. The carnal mind is enmity, it's the enemy against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, that is the Romans 7 guy. Can't please God. I don't care how much they want to. They can't please him because they're still slaves to sin. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. Everyone say, thank God. You are not in the flesh. I'm going to say it this way. You're not a Romans 7 person anymore. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, should be little s. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and just to make sure you understand what he's talking about, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He is none of his. He's talking about being born again. He's talking about that new nature. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the new nature is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit, by his nature that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, here it is, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You got that? You were before. You were a slave to the flesh before. You were in debt. You were sold in bondage. Adam sold you down the river. He sent you right down Sin River without a paddle. Anyway. But you're not a slave anymore. You're not a debtor. You're not in debt to the flesh. Now notice, for if you live after the flesh, you shall, flesh, you like that? If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the new nature, through the Spirit, do mortify, that means put to death, the deeds, not the good intentions, but the actual deeds of the body, you shall live. And here's our famous verse. For as many as are led by the new nature. He talks about the Holy Ghost later. He's still talking about that new nature. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. What if I backed up here and inserted the Spirit of Christ? The new nature in you is the first level of obeying Christ. That is the first level of humbling yourself. That first week that I was born again, the Spirit of Christ is telling me, he's rearranging my whole house. The pornography's got to go. What? Alcohol's got to go. What? On and on. You got to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. You're not going to go very far with me. I want to go far with you. Well, you got to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I don't know how to forgive them. Would you be willing to be made willing to be willing? That whole thing was going on for the first few weeks there. There was a new sheriff in town, and he was preaching from the inside out. Amen? We weren't even going to church yet. We hadn't found the prayer. We didn't find Dave for many years later, you know. We did go to church before Dave, but anyway. But verse 14, for as many as are led by the new nature, by that Spirit of Christ, they are the sons of God. I've been teaching out of 1 John. See, many in the church today are saying, I love God, I love Jesus, but I'm living in open fornication and have been for 5 years. But John says, if you don't keep his commandments, you do not know him. And if you don't keep his commandments, you do not love him. I had one of them here would say, well, I just don't believe that. I'm going to go talk to Jesus about it. And he means it. I know this guy. I love this guy. I've known him for a long time. But see, if he goes and talks to, quote, Jesus about it, and Jesus said it's okay for you to live in open fornication, that's a different Jesus. Paul warned about that. He said, if any man come and preach another Jesus, let him be accursed. Isn't that right? If you go talk to the real one, he'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. You need to depart. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this was how Paul wrote, living after the Spirit, living after the new nature, to the Romans. Let's go to Galatians and look how he wrote it to the Gentiles. The Romans had some, these Romans, he at one point he says, I write to those that know the law. These fellows in Rome that he was writing to, they had some knowledge at least of the law of Moses. The Galatians, are you kidding me? The region of Galatia, these were pagans. They worshipped all kinds of strange things, you know. They never heard the law of Moses in their life. But Paul is really teaching. Paul wrote both letters, and he is teaching the same truth to these Galatians that he taught to the Romans. So starting in verse 16 of Galatians 5, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and again, that should be little s, walk in the new nature, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to read it this way. The flesh lusteth against the new nature. and the new nature against the flesh. Now notice, these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the new nature, you're not under the law. Now he starts, so he's drawing this picture of the born-again person. Your spirit has been born again. You've got God's very nature. I like how he said it to the Romans. You've got the very spirit of Christ. The very spirit of Christ on the inside of you. I like how Richard Edgar said it, and I'll give him credit a little longer. He said, the new nature, in the same way that a natural compass always points north, that new nature you received always points towards righteousness. That's pretty good. That's just real good. If you will follow the compass of the new nature, you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Now, the flesh, I might as well tell you, it's pointing the opposite direction. There's a compass of the flesh that thinks adultery is just fine, thank you very much. It thinks fornication is a wonderful thing, getting high on drugs, we should do it daily. And he tells you that right down here, a little farther on here, in fact, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. The flesh likes all this stuff. Adultery? It thinks that's a great idea. We should do this. Fornication? It's trying to take you by the hand, walk you right into it. Uncleanness? Now, wouldn't that include pornography and dirty jokes and on and on and on, all kinds of uncleanness? You know what that means. Lasciviousness? The word really means no restraint. Just no restraint at all. And he goes on to idolatry. Several places in the New Testament, Paul equates idolatry with greed. See, greed, covetousness, really is bowing down to mammon. Okay? And in witchcraft, I love the King James Bible, but that's not a real good translation. The translation, the real word there is pharmakia, spelled with a K. Pharmakia. And it's where we get our word pharmacy. It's talking about drug abuse. The flesh thinks that's a great thing. Woo! I still remember the first time I had a real drink. I was almost graduated from college, and a guy fixed for me a slow gin fizz. Yeah. Now, see, I never liked the taste of alcohol. I never liked the taste of beer. I wasn't a beer drinker in high school. I tried it a couple of times. I just thought it tasted like not something you should drink. Okay. I did not like the taste of it. But a slow gin fizz, whoo, tasted fruity, tasted delicious. And I liked the feeling that came after it. I said, I'd like another one of those. Well, that began a slippery slope that destroyed my life after about 10 years. See, I'd have been a lot better off never to have had that very first one. But that high that came with it, oh, my flesh thought that was a great idea. Oh, yeah, we need to do that again. Well, that's the way you get addicted to anything, you know. So we can plainly see the lusts of the flesh. Your spirit, man, though, wants righteousness. It loves purity, that part of you. Did you know that spirit in you says it hates iniquity? It doesn't just dislike it. That nature that he put in you, it says it loves righteousness and hates iniquity. I've been praying lately, Lord, I want to hate it like you hate it. I want my soul to hate it like you hate it. I want that to come full measure in me where I hate it. I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. I hate the iniquity, see? So we've got this war, and thank God for Pastor Dave's book, how he really taught us all of these things and how the Holy Spirit comes to also help you. See, that the new nature is your first level of help. It's your compass that always points towards righteousness. But it says the Spirit, okay, back to Romans 8 just for a moment. I want to quote it exactly. I think I can, but just to make sure. Back to Romans, because he does start talking about the Holy Spirit later. And verse 26 says, likewise. Now, this is the Spirit. Now he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also. If you don't already have that word also underlined. Well, if it's also helping, what was first helping? the new nature is your first helper, but the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you allow the Holy Spirit to start making intercession for you with groanings that can't be uttered, why can't they be uttered? He just told you. You don't know what to pray as you ought. Mike asked me, he overheard me say something about Korea, and he asked me coming in, he says, you mean you preached in Korea? I said, yeah, I went 6 years in a row, preached over there. How would I have known in the first year that I was born again, how would I have known to pray in my known language, oh God, please send me to Korea? There's no way in the world I would have ever known to be able to pray something like that. I wouldn't know what to pray as I ought. But how many of you know when I started making intercession, letting the Holy Spirit make intercession for me, he knew the plan. And he began making intercession and praying for me. I didn't know I was supposed to go, but he knew I was supposed to go. And thank God we got to go. Hallelujah is wonderful. And see, in that context, I'm going to go ahead and include this one. In that context comes verse 28. Religion always lifts that verse out by itself to say things that God never intended it to say. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. They just pull that out of its setting and they'll say, now see there, that car wreck that killed your kids and your spouse. It's all things work together for good. That is not what Paul is writing about here at all. What he's saying is you can trust that when you turn yourself over to the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, to begin making intercession for you, and while he is praying those utterances that you don't even know what to pray as you ought, you can trust that during that time, God is working all things together for your good, and he's praying the very plan of God for you. So when you enter heaven, you'll enter with an abundant harvest. God, that's good preaching, Brother Gary. Continue. I think I will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we were teaching all of this in the youth conference recently, and I had Joe wear a Halloween mask to represent the sin nature. It was really ugly. It was green. By the way, we had that at the YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and just type in the mechanism of righteousness, that YouTube video will come up. But we had had Joe represent the sin nature, and David Harrigus, names are hard for me when I'm like this, David, he represented the new nature, and we had him face to face. And the flesh wants to do one thing, and the righteousness wants to do another thing, and there is this literal war going on. How many are looking forward to the day when that war will be over? I'm looking forward to getting a new body. I want one where righteousness dwells. I want one that doesn't fight me all the stinking time. Did I kind of say stinking? All the stinking time. I'm tired of it. Every day. No. That can be retrained. I want to throw this part in because I've lived through it. See, once you've gotten the beam out of your eye, I can help you get a speck out of yours. Now listen, you can retrain the flesh. During the withdrawals, when I was going through the nicotine, getting rid of that, I thought I was going to die, and I thought it was never going to end. In fact, I came to the decision. I said, Lord, it looks like it's going to always be this way, which was agony. I mean, agony for me. Anyway. And it lasted over a year, about a year and a half, actually. And I said, Lord, I didn't know if it was ever going to end. I couldn't look then at now. And I came to this conclusion. I said, Lord, if it's always going to be like this, I'm still going to live this way. My flesh is not going to dominate me. I'm not going to live after the flesh anymore. Even if this is the way it is till the day I see you in heaven, and I have to live with these withdrawals, I'm still not going to obey the flesh anymore. See? Now, that I can't take credit for that. That's that Spirit of Christ on the inside of me. I thank God for every hour that where Pastor Dave would encourage us to Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the building up, where finally that Spirit of Christ rose up in me. It's not really the Holy Ghost, but He helped build me up to where the nature of Christ finally says, withdrawals are not, flesh, you're not getting your way anymore. Amen. So in that youth conference, and I was teaching away, and that you can tell every now and then, God will teach beyond you. Doug, I'm sure Doug has had this happen. You'll say something, and you'll go, when I get home, I'm going to write that down. Doug, am I telling the truth? You go, that was beyond me, okay? Well, I said a statement that was beyond me. And I was just teaching away about who you're going to obey. You're going to obey the new nature. And I had David on this side. Are you going to obey this sin nature? And I had Joe on that side. And this sentence come out of my mouth. I said, who are you following? Is the flesh your shepherd? Or, note to self. Study that out when you get home, Gary. Is the flesh your shepherd? Well, I kept meditating on that, see. There's a lot of people who think they're okay. They've still got themselves under the banner of Christian. But in their real life, if you watch how they live, the flesh is their shepherd. See, Jesus, we're going to teach on this at more length too. Jesus said, you'll know the tree by its fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit. Neither can an evil tree produce good fruit. You're one or the other. Now, it doesn't mean we don't make some mistakes and everything, but we look at your life, we look at the fruit. Let's see now. Your life, let me see what kind of fruit here. You live with your girlfriend, have been for 10 years. You weekly get drunk on alcohol. You get high on drugs every third day. You this, you that. You still watch pornography. You still, I'm having trouble thinking this is a good tree. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. It's a good, he said, make the tree good. Make up your mind. What is it? Is it a good tree? Or is it a bad tree? Now, about you, if you're born again, he plainly says you are a good tree. That, I thank God that Nathan has been teaching that so hard. It finally impacted my consciousness. And it's narrowed my own walk on some things. Things I would tolerate even with some of the stuff we'd watch on TV now. Nope. And it wasn't terrible at all. But now you can't watch anything and a Victoria's Secret commercial will come on. I mean, I was just sitting there. And I have to, whoa, you know, look away or something. But it's narrowing my own walk, see. I am a good tree. I am a child of light. I have no business walking in darkness, period. Isn't that right? And it's growing bigger in me. I think my tree is going to produce more fruit this year than it has ever in any year. It's going to produce more fruit. Not just righteousness fruit either, but healing fruit and loving fruit and all kinds of joy fruit. I like joy fruit. That's a good one. But I made that statement. I said, so who are you following? Is your flesh your shepherd? Now, everyone, close your Bible. Please close your Bible. Don't be looking. Don't be looking at your iPhone. He had me write the Psalm of the Flesh. The flesh is my shepherd. Now here it comes. You ready? Based on the 23rd Psalm. This will have, you don't have to write this down. Now we'll have it posted for you as a PDF alongside this teaching. Okay? And who are you following? This is the Psalm of the Flesh person. Whether you call yourself a Christian or not. The flesh is my shepherd. I shall always want. My flesh maketh me to lie down with the prostitute and to live in fornication with my girlfriend or boyfriend. It leads me into all the tumultuous waters of sin. The flesh destroys my soul by leading me in the paths of unrighteousness for Satan's name's sake. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am in constant fear of evil, for I have forsaken the Lord. I have rebelled against the Lord's rod and staff, and I have forsaken my own salvation. I sit and dine at the table of the Lord's enemies. I eat whatever my flesh serves me to eat. The flesh keeps me from the Lord's anointing. My cup is bone dry. Surely the pleasures of sin in this life are my true love, and I will dwell in hell forever. That is the psalm of the flesh. Now the question is, who are you following? Now I'm looking at this little group here. I know you guys. I know you're following the Spirit. You're pressing in. And even as I read that, the Holy Spirit will, God will walk through hell with you. No matter, hey, he started with me. He came in this sinful person with full of pornography and nicotine addiction and alcohol addiction, and my whole life was about serving mammon. But he came in just because I asked him. But he began cleaning me up from the inside out. And he walked through hell with me for years and still doing it. But that will stop if I resist him. And if I say, how did Dave say it? He will walk through hell with you as long as you don't come to the place where you say sin is not sin when he says it is. And as long as you don't come to the place of saying, I'll never be free. I'm not going to continue to strive against this. This is just who I am. Yeah? Don't do that. As long as you... See, Paul said it this way. I don't count myself to have apprehended, Paul said. Neither yet perfect. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are past and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press. And the pressing means everything. I press towards the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to keep pressing. You can't make a truce with the flesh. You can't make a truce with the flesh. You can't let the flesh become your shepherd. Now let me read it to you the way David wrote it. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Was he doing that in the first few weeks of Gary's salvation? Absolutely, he was restoring my soul. This old smoking, drinking, pornography, watching, mammon, serving soul was dead, boy. He started that process of restoring my soul. Started doing it from the inside out. I didn't exactly hear these words, but the truth of it will work. Gary, you're not anymore a child of darkness. You're a child of light now. You don't do this anymore. I'm leading you out of those things. I'm leading you into the still waters. I'm leading you into the paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is you. We are not going to follow the flesh, are we? The flesh is not our shepherd. That new nature on the inside, the Lord is my shepherd. Him and him alone will I follow. Hallelujah. That is the end of lesson number one. We got 7 minutes. I'm going to give you lesson number two. The title of this one is called The Pickle and the Sauerkraut. Angie knew it was coming. This was July 31st. Last night I had two very strange dreams. In the first one, the whole dream, I was staring at a pickle. That's it. It seemed like it went on forever, just staring at a pickle. I remember thinking, in the dream, I'm thinking, this is the strangest dream I've ever had. In the dream. What am I doing staring at a pickle? And I woke up and my first thought was the same. That is the strangest dream I've ever had. Why did I dream about staring at a pickle? And I was asleep for hours. I fell back asleep and I had another dream. This time I was staring at a bowl of sauerkraut. That's it. The whole dream. And again, it just seemed to go on forever. I'm just staring at a bowl of sauerkraut. And in the second dream, I could remember the first dream. And I'm thinking, first a pickle, and now sauerkraut. What is going on? And I remember in the dream wondering if God was trying to tell me something. Well, I remembered those two dreams when I woke up. Now, I myself know very little about how pickles or sauerkraut is made. I know a pickle starts off as a cucumber. Am I okay with that? A pickle starts off as a cucumber, and sauerkraut starts off as cabbage. I knew that much. So I looked them both up on the internet. Pickle. A pickle is a cucumber that has been pickled and soaked in brine, vinegar, or some other solution and left to ferment for a period of time. Now, the first one mentioned was brine. Brine is water that's saturated with salt. As much salt as can dissolve into it, that's brine. Okay? I looked up sauerkraut, and that is cabbage that has been finely shredded, layered with salt, and left to ferment. So both of these, you change a cucumber to a pickle with salt, and you change cabbage to sauerkraut with salt. You got that? Now, the thing about a pickle, it's a pickle all the way through to its core. Same with sauerkraut. The flavor is not just on the surface. It's all the way through. You could say the cucumber was originally one thing, but it became another thing. Now, listen to this. After it was baptized in brine, and left in the brine until it became a pickle. I remembered the Greek word baptize, and I think it's baptizo, was first used by those who dyed cloth. The first time that, when that starts appearing in Greek history, the first time it was used, they would take the white cloth, they would completely immerse it, baptize it into the dye solution, and leave it there until the dye had penetrated every single fiber of the cloth. The cloth and the dye became one. You got that? You could cut the cloth any way you wanted to, and you would never find any part of it that was not saturated by the dye. It's the same thing with the cucumber and the cabbage. You leave them in the brine or in the salt and let them become saturated completely all the way through. Now get this, the brine and the cucumber become one new thing, a pickle. It's not brine, and it's not a cucumber. It's a pickle. And it's got a different flavor than a cucumber. Isn't that right? The brine and the cabbage become one new thing. Now, I like cabbage. I like sauerkraut. They don't taste the same. But it was cabbage, but it's now sauerkraut. And it's got a whole different flavor. You can see where this is coming. You can cut the pickle into tiny little pieces, but the flavor of the pickle is everywhere throughout it. You can dig with your fork all through the bowl of sauerkraut, and you'll not find any part of it that does not have the flavor of sauerkraut. And about this point in my meditation, I heard this verse, and it's Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. How did we become salt? How did we become salt? When we were born again, we were baptized into Christ. That's Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And as if that's not enough, we're told that Jesus baptized us in the Holy Spirit. John says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's Mark 1:8. Remember the dyers of cloth? Remember how they baptized the cloth in the dye and they left it there until it was completely saturated. I believe the Lord is saying through these dreams to me and then to you, we need to spend so much time in the Word and in the presence of the Holy Spirit that we become somewhat like that cloth, like the cucumber, like the cabbage. We become one new thing, so saturated with God that there is no part of us left that is not one with God. I believe that's what he's saying. We keep making this distinction, well, that's Jesus and that's me. But he said his prayer was that we all be one. He said, I and the Father are one. Father, I pray that they all may be one as we are one, I and them and thou and me. One. What if we become pickled? What if we become so one with him you can't discern anymore? See, that's what Paul said. He says to the letter to the Philippians, he says, for me, to live is Christ. Boy, I meditated on that a long time. It almost sounds braggadocious, but you know, Paul wasn't. Paul is saying, I've come to the point now. If you follow me around, it would be no difference than if you followed Jesus wearing my body today. For me to live is Christ. I have become so one with him, my thoughts are the same. My goals are the same. My thinking is the same. And get this, the anointing is the same. I want to be pickled now. See, and we got a verse for that, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And that's not H-O-L-Y. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Completely. I pray the very God of peace sanctify you completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Hold out your right arm. Touch it. Even your body. Paul is saying, even our body. There's no point praying that unless it's possible. Even our body. This physical body, this fallen meat sack, can be preserved blameless. We got to believe that. So saturated with the life and the presence of God, it just has no say-so anymore. We not walk after the Spirit. I mean, we do walk after the Spirit. We do not walk after the meat sack anymore. We don't walk after the flesh. I'll finish up with Jesus' prayer. This is John 17, verses 20 through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them. Now, that meant for the ones that were listening to him, the 11 right then. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hello, that's us. That they all may be one. Now, he's not talking a horizontal oneness here, and he tells you that. He's talking a vertical oneness like he had with the Father. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. See this vertical oneness? That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them, here's that vertical. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I'm ready to be pickled. I want to become sauerkrauted. I need to soak in that salt. I need to stay baptized until the dye of the Holy Ghost has penetrated every fiber of my being with the nature of Christ, where you could cut me up in little slivers, and every little sliver is still going to taste like Jesus. See, Dave is probably the closest to that I've ever known. You know how we talk all the time, says you can just poke Dave anywhere and nothing but love comes out. But see, you poke Gary anywhere, you may get, depends on where you poke me, time of day you poke me, where you poke me, and how hard you poke me, okay? Sue's laughing. She knows it's true. But I want to get to that place where no matter what you do, you could nail me to a cross and only love comes out. Whew. I want to be pickled and I want to be sauerkrauted. I want that flavor of Christ all the way through, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, that's enough. Is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah.